not only the notes on the website, but you'll have the audio of the lessons in Jonah. And you go to the website, and you go down to where and click on Jonah or Emerget or whatever, and it'll take you to it, and you click on, and they're going to be putting up our notes on the website. So I think that's real good. You get the audio, but you also get the printed notes on the website also, in case you ever miss, and you can always catch up. But we are in Jonah today, chapter 1, verse 11 through 17. And this is going to be part 1. It's going to be entitled Calm in the Storm, part 1. I know none of us are immune to storms in life. We're going to be talking about storms in life today. None of us are immune to them. Jonah's in the middle of a storm, and we're going to see how he reacts and the people around him reacts, but he's in a storm. He's in a storm of his own making, because if he had just gone to Nineveh like he was supposed to do, Prophet Jonah, if he would have obeyed God and gone to Nineveh, as much as you didn't want to go, as much as you disliked it, it didn't appeal to you, that if, as a prophet of God, you needed to trust God. But no, you know the story. As we get into chapter 1, he turned around and he headed to Tarshish, 2,000 miles away, and act like he was going on a vacation. And so what happens, he ends up getting on a ship, and there's a storm. There's a storm in the sea. And so we're now just getting into the storm. Many of you know this story right here of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It was written by H.G. Spafford. He just received news that his four daughters had been lost at sea, on a ship out at sea. And it was after that that he wrote that great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Is well with my soul. The real issue we're going to see today with Jonah as we get in there, just like us, all of us, the real issue is not so much the storms that come our way, but it's really how we deal with the storms. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite authors, he says 20% is really what happens to you. But he says 80% is how you respond to what happens to you. And that's going to be true in this story today with Jonah. It was not so important what happened to him, the storm, but it's how he responded to the storm. And usually that's what happens to it. We all have storms in our life. We all have things that come into our life that really we have to decide how we're going to respond. Chuck Snyder and myself, our favorite verse is James chapter 1, verse 2. That says, count it all joy when you meet various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience. That God's trying to do a work in your life sometime. But if you push against even the storms in your life or the trials in your life, you're not reacting properly here. And so that's a famous quote of Chuck Swindoll. The real issue here is how we respond to the storms in our life. There are some people, and your notes there, they fuss about them. They fuss about them. The children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, if you remember that story, they were coming out of bondage into Egypt. Before they went back to the Promised Land, you remember they had to wander around in the wilderness. You remember that? Well, if you look at Numbers chapter 24, verse 5, it says here, why have you brought us out of Egypt? And the reason was, they would rather have been back in bondage in Egypt than wander around in the wilderness. And they had no clue that what was fixing to happen. We were en route to the Promised Land, and God was going to deliver them and give them better than what they got. But they complained to Noah, to Moses, and God about being in the wilderness. Why have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Another way some people do it is they fear them. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, let me read this. Job finally said here, what I have feared has come upon me. And Job, in that verse here, he cursed the day he was born, what was happening to him. And that, we may get into Job, but that's a great, great story about trials coming on this man's life. It's devastating him. And he said, I curse the day I was born. Why? What I have feared has finally come upon me, Job said. Some people fear the storms that come in their life. And then some people flee from them. And that's where we're in the book of Jonah We're watching Jonah flee from God's will in his life, and he's going to try to flee from the storm in his life. Once we've discerned the real reasons for our storm, and we react, as Chuck Swindoll says, if we respond properly to it, there comes an amazing result. And that amazing result we're going to see in the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the raging sea grew calm. The raging sea grew calm. And if you have your notes, we're going to look at the reasons for the storm. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. I think you have it written there in the notes I printed for you. Jonah chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. Remember, they were already on a ship, and the sea was getting rougher and rougher. And so they asked him, these sailors asked him. They already knew that Jonah was running away from the Lord. Jonah was being disobedient to God. God had told him to do something, and Jonah wants to do what he wants to do. It wasn't so much that these men cared about God, but they cared about their life. And so they already cast the lots. You remember, if you were here last week, they'd spun the bottle, or they cast the lots and rolled the dice, and it fell on Jonah that he was the cause of this. I don't know how scientific that is. That's not a good way to do things and come up with decisions. It's kind of like that thing when you were little, that eight ball you had, and you remember? You turn that thing around, turn it over, and you didn't like the answer, so you shook it and did it again until you got the answer you wanted.
Yeah,
wasn't that something? That wasn't very scientific. Well, these guys, they knew, though, that Jonah feared God, and yet he had disobeyed God. And so in the verses 11 through 12, he said the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? You remember, they were concerned about us-ins. And so Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied. It will become calm. I know that is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And so they ask that question, what shall we do? That's quite a question. Leaving Jonah, the prophet of God, leaving his fate in the hands of lost people, in the hands of these sailors. But they were concerned about themselves too. And so we want to see the reasons for the storm. Number one, some storms in my life and your life are inevitable. They're inevitable. There's kind of a new wave of preaching that's going around, and you've heard it. And however, one says that the problems in your life, the storms in your life, are because of the sin in your life. If you could just find out what that sin is that you're committing, the storms will go away. Other people believe that you have storms in your life because you don't have enough faith to overcome. And there are groups of people, groups of even churches, that their basic theology is this. I've done a lot of, in my 51 years here, we do a lot of counseling here at Sagemont. We have a counseling center with five LPCs, licensed professional counselors. There's about three of us on staff that have a smaller degree in counseling. And so I know a little bit about counseling. And there's a type of counseling that says, there's different styles of counseling, that if you find out what's wrong with you, if you find out what the sin is in your life, you deal with this, then your life is going to be smooth. And folks, that's not true. There's problems that come into my life that I didn't bring about, but other people have brought it about. And yet it's not the sin in my life. And then there's other groups of people that say, you just got to have faith. That's pretty simplistic counseling. Pretty simplistic. That your problems are due to your lack of faith. See, it all back on you. It's either your sin or it's your lack of faith. And if you get that right, you get right with God, then everything's going to be okay. And so some storms come our way and are inevitable. They're going to come our way, and it's inevitable. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on all of us as equally. We're equally going to have storms come into our life. You are not going to live the Christian life free from storms or trials or pain. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But some storms in life are inevitable. Remember what Chuck Swindoll said. 20% is what happens to you, and 80% is how you respond to what happens to you. Here's the truth for you. Some things come our way because we're fallen men and women, and this is a fallen world. God gets blamed for a lot of junk sometimes, that when some bad things happen to good people, God gets blamed for it. In reality, some people's theology says that, well, bad things are supposed to happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, in reality, bad things can happen to good people. And you know it. You know that for a truth. But God loves you, and he wants what's best for you. And sometimes we don't make good decisions, and sometimes other people don't make good decisions. And both times it's inevitable that it's going to come our way. That is the truth of it right there. B, some storms come our way because of testing. Some storms come our way because of testing. This was certainly the case with Jonah. With Jonah. There's a difference between testing and trials. You know that. I want to be clear today. And this was certainly the reason for Jonah's case. Testing comes from God to cause a Christian to stand. And trials come from Satan to cause a Christian to stumble. I don't know if I've shared this with you. I don't know what I've shared with you. But I do know this, that when I was born, I was born in what is called the family of Adam. I'm a descendant of Adam. The end result of staying in this family of Adam is I will spend eternity separated from God in a real place called hell. This is basic. This is 101. We were born in the family of Adam. But one day, I changed families. I accepted Jesus Christ's death on the cross for payment for my sins, and I changed families. I left Adam's family, and I joined God's family. I'm assuming that everybody in this room, that's happened to you. I hope it has. Because the end result of being in God's family is you're going to die one of these days, and you're going to spend eternity in a real place called heaven. I don't know if you've ever changed families, but you need to. And it was the death on the cross that allowed you to do that. You don't have to do anything. Jesus paid it all on the cross. But let me tell you what happens. Satan knows he can never own you again. You were bought with the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. You are sealed. You can't even go back on it. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You can affect your fellowship, but you're not going to affect the relationship. There's a difference in relationship and fellowship. It kind of forms a cross, doesn't it? You like that, Ralph? Cross? Okay. The relationship is when you invited Christ in your heart, repented of your sin, and Jesus saved you, you entered into a permanent relationship. Oh, folks, please, don't miss this. You enter into a permanent relationship with God. And when you die, you're going to heaven. But let me tell you what. He still gives you the freedom to make choices. And when you make those choices, some of my choices affects my fellowship with Him. Some of my choices affect that fellowship with Him. And so you won't lose that relationship, but you can lose your fellowship. But 1 John 1:9 says, see, He always gives you something, doesn't He? 1 John 1:9 says, if you'll be faithful and just to confess your sin, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sin. And so that's for the believer, 1 John 1:9. And so for those that need to understand that storms are inevitable in our life, and sometimes things come to test us, that sometimes what comes in our life is not going to cause us to lose our salvation. But it causes us our fellowship. And so it's like a warning sign that goes off. Not only is it inevitable, not only is it for testing, but we as Christians are tested a lot. We as Christians are tested a lot. But Satan wants us to stumble. Why? The reason why Satan wants to do this, he knows he can never own Emory again. I was bought with the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. So the next best thing Satan can do to me and to you as a believer will cause us to stumble and fall on our nose, cause us to disobey, cause us not to do what we're supposed to do, cause us to disobey. And that's a little S-I-N-S. And 1 John 1, 9 says, deal with it. Remember what Swindoll said? It's 20% what happens to you, 80% how you respond to it, and to deal with it. Satan knows he can never own me again. I was bought with the blood. So the next best thing he wants to do is mess my testimony up. He wants to mess my life up. He wants me to feel, watch it now, he wants me to feel inadequate, inferior. And that's what the game that Satan will play on you as a believer. But God has saved us eternally. And so there's going to be testings that come our way, and trials are going to come our way. And so we need to really be aware. It's not unusual to find that many of the storms that come our way are there to teach us to test our faith. Much of the book of James, I had mentioned James to you, James 1, 2. Much of the book of James is written concerning this very point. Y'all just got through studying James in here, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, you just squeeze everything out of James. We're being tested here concerning our faith. See, also, some storms come our way for discipline. Once again, Jonah gets a double dose. It's true in Jonah's case. It was true in Jonah's case for testing. It was true in Jonah's case for discipline. If the storms of testing, then God's going to give us a victory in this. He says in that James 1:2 to count it joy when you meet various trials. Now I know a lot of us, we go through trials and pain and everything. We're just not going, count it joy. Hey, I just love these trials. I love this pain. Yeah. But he says, count it joy that you're being tested, because God's trying to do a work in your life, and he wants to prove something to you, and he's going to give you victory over it. If the storm is of testing, God's going to give you a victory. If it's of discipline, God will bring you to repentance. And our verse here is 1 Peter 4:14-16. Sometimes the trials that come our way are to discipline us, to wake us up. It's like a burglar alarm that goes off inside of us. And so you have to almost self-inspect yourself sometime. But if the storm is of testing, God's going to give you victory. If it's of discipline, then God's going to bring you to repentance. Here's the sad thing about Jonah as we're getting here. I really believe this. Jonah would rather have died than to do the will of God. All he had to do was go to Nineveh and preach. He was capable of preaching. He had the message. He was a prophet of God. He just didn't like the destination of the assignment. And he would rather turn and go the other way and die in a shipwreck than to do what God's will is for his life and what God wanted him to do. Some of us let pride so rule our lives that we'd rather die than to do God's will. And this is exactly where Jonah was right here. Let me give you some things to remember. This is thoughts for us believers. Remember that God sent the storm in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. Some people think that God is like an old man with a long white beard, looking feebly down on our experience, overlooking our sin as he shakes his head and says no 1,000 times no. Listen, God is serious about sin. He is serious about the sin in our life. If we are his children and we're in open rebellion, he's going to do his best, and he'll even send a storm into our life. He will send a storm into our life. A storm in life will come sometimes to get our attention. Remember this. Remember there's a future for failures. You can stumble and fall. You can mess up. As Satan wants me to stumble and fall on my nose, you can stumble and fall. But always with God, there's a future for failures. God still used Jonah after he went to Joppa, after he found the ship, after he left the will of God and headed toward Tarshish. God still used him. And you're going to see, if we ever get there's a great revival in Nineveh that's going to come. But God had to first get Jonah's attention. And so often we think that I have failed and God could never use me again. And we deal with many brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that have made a lot of mistakes. We all have. But there's always a future for us. There's always repentance. There's always forgiveness there for us. And there's always a future. God's not really through with us yet. But the reason for the storm sometimes is to wake us up. The third thing I want you to remember is the storm taught Jonah a valuable lesson. Here's the purpose. If we are his children, we should not be surprised when storm clouds come. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." So not only count it joy, but count it a privilege when he cares enough about you that he's going to discipline you, and he will allow storms to come into your life. He will allow storms to come into life. He did not initiate the storm. He did not send it to you. He allowed it to come into your life. Satan meant it for evil. You know the verse. But God meant it for good. For Jonah, the storm of life was the voice of God, just like it was when God spoke to Adam in the garden. "Adam, Adam, where are you?" Just like he spoke to Elijah when he said to Elijah, "What in the world are you doing?" In the midst of Elijah's mistakes. What was the reason for Jonah's storm? In your notes there, your reason for Jonah's storm is a loving father getting the attention of his runaway prophet. That is evidence of his love, that he's not going to allow you to stray. He's going to try to get your attention, try to get your attention to repent. Look now in your notes. Let's look at the reactions to the storm. God, we're moving along fast. We shouldn't be going so fast. Reactions to the storm. We're in Jonah chapter, that should be 1, not 2 up there. Jonah chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Is it 1 on your notes? My problem. Jonah chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. "Instead, the men did their best to row back to land." Jonah said, "Throw me over. I'm almost causing this thing." And so here's what the men did. They did their best to row back to land. They could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord. Oh, Lord with a capital S. Please, Lord. Now they're talking Yahweh here. They're not talking their gods, gods of rocks or the stars of the moon. They cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please." These are the men speaking here. These are the men speaking here. Once we discover the reason for our storm, then there's several ways that we can react. Once we discover the reason for the storm, there's several ways that we can react. Let's look at the sailor's reaction to the storm. The sailor's reaction to the storm, you see up there in the verses, is they, in their own might, they rowed harder. They tried in their own strength to row harder to solve the problem of the storm. They thought they could overcome the storm in their own might. There's some things, the amount of nature, the power of nature that God's out there that you can't overcome in your own might. You're not strong enough. They thought, though, in the flesh, that they would try in their own strength to solve this problem, and they would just row harder. The thing they knew how to do is rowing, and so they did their best to row. Here is a group of men that also, they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. Another way to react in the storm in your life is for Jonah to remember some things. He reacted too to this. But these men in here, they reacted to the storm in their life, and they cried out to God. As hard as they tried, they couldn't get back to land. We thought we could overcome. We can't. We thought we could make it happen. We can't make it happen. And two things they did right before they cried out to God is they threw out cargo into the sea to lighten the load, and they began to row harder and row harder. They're not different to many of us. We try in our own might to do it in our own instead of turning things over to the Lord. But they finally cried out to God. And so what we see now is Jonah's reaction. How did Jonah react to the storm? Well, Jonah, the Bible says right there that Jonah stopped running. He knew his sin. He knew that he admitted his fault. He took responsibilities for it. He knew it was upon him. And then Jonah, the second reaction to the storm was Jonah submitted to God. Jonah submitted to God and said, "You're in charge. Use me, even if it's a sacrifice." At this point, Jonah became a picture, a type. as we're going to see later on, he realized that his life was not his own, that he belonged to God. He was a prophet of God, and that he was going to be used of God, and he was about to straighten up and fly right here. One of the tests of the Christian character is not our actions, but our reactions. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus delivered the entire Sermon on the Mount to teach us the importance of reactions. And I went back this last week and I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and exactly that's what it is. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us how to respond and react to things in our life. The Sermon on the Mount, react to it. Jonah reacted to the storm with submission to God's will. At this point now, we're going to close. He's wanting to submit to God's will. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what this means, he's going to go to Nineveh. He's going to Nineveh. But now he's realized God has got his attention. The storm came in his life. He realized that he needs to obey God's will. And so he's going to react to it. What we're going to look at next week, as you come, hold on to your notes. Don't lose them. Because next week you're going to have part two of Calming the Storm. We're going to look at the results of the storm. What happened as a result of the storm as we go forward in this lesson in Jonah on Calming the Storm. Let me make a couple of...